Hello and welcome. Thank you for tuning in to Functional Spirituality. My name is Ava Irani, and I am a meditation teacher, a philosophy major, and I've been studying both healing and trauma, as well as non-duality and transcendent types of spirituality for many years, for over 15 years. And on this podcast, I like to bring a more discerning, critical thinking perspective to a lot of the different spiritual practices that are out there in our vast spiritual marketplace, and to look a little bit at the mechanics, the functionality, the kind of underlying intentionality, the philosophy behind different modalities and practices. And really, you know, it's not just an academic pursuit of critiquing the industry. It's really about, you know, my biggest interest is actually considering what our needs are. So what do we essentially need? What are our changing needs? And how can we be more in tune with and self-aware of our continuously changing needs, so that our self-care and our evolution and development practices don't devolve into dogma, where we're just doing stuff that we think we need to do and what we're told to do. And today, the topic that I want to speak about is how to heal from a traumatic event. So looking a little bit about what are the mechanics of healing from a traumatic event. Maybe you have healed from a traumatic event, or maybe you want to heal from a traumatic event. So understanding the mechanics of a healing process, of your healing process, so how is it actually working, is so important and often overlooked. But if you want to think about why it's so important, consider how important you know your mind is, your beliefs are, your perspective is, right? So we are, you know, our generation, our culture, you know, the different generations, whatever one you might be in, you know, our culture, you could say better, is really familiar with the power of the mind, right? The power of your belief system. Biology of belief. You can heal yourself with, you know, changing your thoughts and your emotions, change your mind, heal your life kind of ideas. And we've seen all kinds of miraculous effects of working on our mind, manipulating our mind, whether it's manifesting or healing or, you know, quantum ideas of your perspectives and stuff like that. And I'm all for it, if it makes sense, you know. So there's a lot of things that we kind of just adopt, indoctrinated with in our, it's like actually part of our pop culture when it comes to these ideas, new age ideas about the mind and spirituality. But, you know, so much of it is true. So much of it is like evidence-based and logical and coherent and kind of fits in with a worldview that's been contemplated a little bit deeper. It's not just dogma. So all that to say that, you know, I'm pretty sure you are aware of the power of your mind and how your perspective creates, very much helps to create your reality, if not entirely creates your experience. So when we understand more the mechanics of our spiritual practice and of how we heal and how trauma works and what this biological experience is, that's all in the mind. And that understanding of the mind is like a scaffolding. It's like a support for our experience of healing or whatever it is that we're trying to pursue. When you get a good theoretical understanding, you get a good framework of understanding around it, your practice can go so much deeper, right? It's the difference from someone just playing the piano by ear for their whole life and someone studying music. They have this extra, you know, the mental aspect, the cognitive aspect actually helps you to embody things deeper. So that's what a lot of this podcast is supposed to help us with, kind of filling the gap of the you know, the theoretical understanding, like a really coherent, logical approach that can be missing from our practices that helps us to avoid a lot of pitfalls, but also helps us to really capitalize on our practice and the time that we're putting in and the effort. So let's look at what healing from a traumatic event means. So let's start with, what is a traumatic event? So the word trauma comes from a Latin word that means wound. So in the medical system, that's usually what a trauma means. It means like a wound or an impact or an incident, like an attack on our body somehow. And we've kind of transposed this idea a little bit into when we're thinking about non-physical psychological trauma. So going through a really challenging experience is also what we call a traumatic event, not just having a car crash or, you know, physical accident. When we're talking about like a non-physical traumatic event, we're talking about an extreme challenge that we've faced that we feel hurt by emotionally and psychologically. We want to think about it in a different way. So we don't, it's a, kind of problematic that we use the same word, but a traumatic event is not a wound, because the way that it meets someone's biology is so much more complex and variable than the way that a physical incident might meet someone's biological structure. So it's so much more complicated when we're talking about an emotional and psychological challenge and stress and pain. So a traumatic event is a challenge that we experience that decreases our capacity to process further challenges. That's my favorite way of defining trauma, is that it's anything that decreases our capacity to process our life's experiences. So our nervous system is a processing machine. It senses information, it processes it based on the framework and conditioning and beliefs and material in its system at the time. So it's, you know, its up-to-date conditioning is from where that it processes what it has sensed, and then it adapts, you know, it responds to that sensory stimulus. When we experience, you know, we experience challenge and stress all day long, we sense, we process it, we respond to it. Whenever we sense or encounter a challenge that's too big to process, and it's beyond our capacity to process it. So it's too big. Either it's too big for our capacity, because remember, our system is a processing machine, but has a certain capacity to process. The older we get, the more challenges we face, the more we adapt to challenge and grow, the more capacity we have for challenges. You know, we're thinking about our nervous system just as a biological system, exactly as a muscle faces a challenge, faces a stress through repeated use. And from that, if the challenge is appropriate, if it's an optimal amount of stress, that muscle will grow and be able to then face larger stresses and larger challenges. If the muscle faces a stress and a challenge, lifts something heavier than it's able to, way beyond its capacity, it will get injured from it because it wasn't able to process or face that challenge. So similarly with our nervous system, facing, understanding, processing challenges. So if they're too big to process, they're too complicated, they're too fast, or they're too threatening. So if the stress is too much, it's not a good stress, it's not something we overcome and grow from, it actually becomes a traumatic experience. The stress becomes a traumatic stress. And what that means is that our capacity to process it, you know, our capacity is, that's how much of the challenge will get processed. And whatever is beyond our capacity will not get processed. It'll have been sensed by the system, but it won't be able to be processed by the system. And the idea is that that material that is unprocessed then lives, that input is in our system, remains in our system, whether it's in a chemical way, in a physical tension, in a way the body tried to protect itself when it was reacting. Maybe it's a psychological material that didn't get processed. Whatever it is, it will remain in the system awaiting a time when it can finally get processed. So this is a biological adaptation of our nervous system that allows it to react really quickly to challenging material. And even if it's not going to be able to fully respond to all of it, we can act quickly and we can use the capacity that we do have to process and respond to make our best guess at reacting as quickly as possible to this incredibly challenging event, whether it's to shut down or ramp up or employ any manner of protection mechanisms, emotions, physical responses. So it will react quickly, but only partially to that stress. And so we're left with that material in our system. So healing from a traumatic event really just means to process that material that's left in our system. There is something living inside of us from the past. That material is taking away, it's holding place in our system, taking from our capacity to process challenges, that new challenges that come up in the present moment. So it's material from the past that's affecting the way we can be present. And you may have heard me before give an example of a cup that's full. So when our cup is filled with material, you know, we've got a couple of deadlines, we're feeling anxious about that. That experience was painful. And also there's been some stuff building up for a few months. And there was also something really big last year that we've never even kind of looked at. And our cup is full, then there's no room for even the smallest challenge and stress. Just having the dishes left in the sink can, you know, totally overwhelm you and send you over the edge. But when your cup is empty, you know, everyone's dishes can be in the sink. I'll do all the dishes. You know, you have more capacity for challenges and stresses and basically for your biological preferences not being met. Whenever your biological preferences are threatened, you experience stress. So if you're a little bit hungry, there's a stress that rises up in the system. And, you know, then consider any biological preference that you might have, from hunger to emotional needs to, you know, all kinds of preferences that we have. When they're not met, we experience stress, and we want our cup to be as empty as possible so we have the greatest capacity as possible to process those challenges, those stresses. And we want to process them and respond in a way that we feel proud of. And that's what happens when we have a greater capacity, or at least that's half of the story, is healing and resolving that material in our system. And the other thing that helps us to respond in a way that we feel proud of is our cultivating tools. So having the right self-awareness, language, skills, alignment, cultivating those conditions around us that will make us feel most fulfilled and happy and proud of ourselves. So a traumatic event is anything that decreases our capacity. It could be a small event, a one-off event, a huge event, a persistent event that is stressful. So any stress that's beyond our capacity, and what could make it beyond our capacity is that it's, you know, complicated, or that it's persistent, or that's too fast or too quick or too big, too threatening. Anything that decreases our capacity, because part of that experience is unprocessed inside of us. And that's why, you know, something traumatic for one person might not be for another. You know, someone calling me a certain name might not offend me, but it might offend someone else. Or, you know, even if it's derogatory to both of us, and vice versa, right? So we all have different conditions living inside of us that are going to affect the way we process things. So healing from a traumatic event is really about digesting that unprocessed or unresolved material that's living inside of us from how we've processed an experience in the past, or, you know, failed to process an experience in the past. And the way, I mean, just explaining what trauma is and how a traumatic event, you know, can live inside of us, that already starts to give us clues, unconsciously, even without articulating it, about what it means and how it feels and what you would do to process material. Maybe you already have some ideas. The way that we digest and process and resolve that material is through exposure. So exposure is how we resolve it. We have to meet it. Our system sensed it, but didn't process it. So now we're consciously going back and we are meeting it again. So we need to sense it again and then process it. You know, exposing ourselves to that material, it can look like so many different ways. And I'll, you know, share a couple of ways that we can expose ourselves to it, you know, voluntarily or even involuntarily. But this brings me to the idea of catharsis. So maybe you have seen approaches that are about exposing ourselves to that material 100%. So we go back and fully meet that experience, regardless of the amount of material and, you know, how overwhelming that stressful material and regardless of what our capacity is in that moment. So cathartic approaches are, you know, they can be like that, about just exposing yourself fully to that material that needs to be digested without considering how big it is or what your capacity is. The approach that I mostly like to take is more of a kind of containment approach. So I don't use too many cathartic kind of modalities. However, I do believe that catharsis is necessary for healing. So catharsis looks like, you know, if you could imagine like having a really big cry or having a lot of emotion well up inside you and having a big scream or running around or punching the pillow. So like really feeling the height, the peak of that painful material inside, that stress inside of us, and feeling the pain of it and kind of having a big reaction. So cathartic approaches are kind of about facilitating that, like going directly into that, trying to get that kind of response, with the idea that that big response is what will heal you. Where the approach that I lean more to is about really kind of allowing the body to go into whatever kind of healing path it most wants. So it's kind of trusting that the body will find the level of processing that it is best going to do. So where, you know, some approaches really celebrate and prioritize and epitomize, you know, having the biggest release possible, there's a lot of criticism for that kind of approach, that although there's a huge catharsis and although you feel really light afterwards from having such a huge energetic kind of experience, emotional, energetic, you know, that energy just pounding through the system, it doesn't necessarily have the effect of actually healing that. There might be some kind, little bit of a placebo effect, but, you know, there's the huge criticism that it's actually just running that trauma and running that stress through the system. The problem was is that the system didn't have the capacity to process it, didn't have the regulation or the understanding or the perspective, and now it's just all happening again. So although there's a lot of speak about how healing it is and kind of hype around it, it might not actually have that approach. Or have that effect. The way that I would recommend is to expose very little of that material. Expose the, you know, the only kind of criticism of only exposing yourself to a little bit is that it would be too slow. But you expose yourself a little bit to actually gauge how, like, what's going on here. You think back to the event. You contemplate it. You don't need to like fully have, like, you know, I'm thinking of like a breath work or a rebirthing where you're hyping up and stimulating the system, activating the system very much, and then thinking about it so that you have like this huge release about it. Just start by kind of contemplating, reflecting what was painful for me and how. And depending on the experience, it might be incredibly overwhelming, and then you just stop. And just stopping is, that's the perfect amount of digestion that you've done. It might bring up material for a while that you can slowly expose yourself and digest. So there's so many ways that you can meet this material. You know, typically we speak about top-down and bottom-up ways. So more through the thoughts and reflection and through the mind, or more through the body and through the sensations and the emotions and through movement. But that material inside us is so complicated. So it could be sensations or images. No one from the outside can tell you. There's no manual that's going to say, first you're going to see a sensation, then you're going to see an image, then you need to think these three questions, and then you need to move your head from side to side. You know, that's that manualization of our experience is really that old paradigm of healing, saying this is the recipe and all nervous systems follow this. What we can say about all nervous systems is that they are incredibly, they are the most complicated and sophisticated instruments known to man, is our human nervous system. So really, we want to have a lot of attunement, a lot of slowness, a really good understanding of what we need to do. And then we need a few different modalities, a few top-down and bottom-up modalities, whether it's the support of someone guiding you through those modalities, whether it's talk therapy or somatic therapy. You're going to then try those modalities as a way of entering into your nervous system and allowing it to speak to you. What, asking it always, always having this inquiry, what do I need? What's going on inside me? What do I need? What's going on inside me? And then exposing yourself to that stressful stimulus and material again. A little bit more material comes up. What do I need? What's going on inside me? What do I need? Exposing a little bit more, exposing. Maybe there's a catharsis. Maybe something huge comes up, but you're creating that sense of safety. So your capacity to process it increases before you expose yourself, before the exposure increases. And you're allowing the nervous system itself to guide itself through that process, because it's actually the nervous system that needs healing and it's way too complicated to manualize. So you really want to, before trying any healing whatsoever, start to get a little bit more in touch with yourself, start to listen to yourself in silence. So in quiet, in meditation, doing a journaling practice, practicing a few healing modalities with other people, so you can start to get a little bit more connected to yourself, so that eventually you can facilitate your own healing. You use other people's modalities, you allow other people to hold spaces for you, but it's only ever going to be you who can tune into your nervous system. Anyone else is going to be doing it from the outside, and that can be helpful. They can be really skillful, but the priority is really, how can I meet this material? What do I need? What's going on inside me? Let me meet this material again. Where is the material? What is the uncomfortable material that's left from that traumatic event? What was so traumatic about it? And doing the RAIN technique and so on. So of course, a disclaimer, if you are experiencing extreme mental health distress or have had a seriously traumatic event, you know, this podcast does not replace professional help. However, it can be a great complement to professional services that are going to support you with your healing to have a deeper understanding of trauma and what's going on inside of your system. There are a few other things you can look at to support you. So healing is the first part of the functional spirituality method, which says that spiritual practice has three essential elements to it. And one of them is healing. One of them is purely about processing the material inside of us that decreases our capacity. So when we're looking at healing or deconditioning, it's the whole first part of the functional spirituality practice. So many podcasts that we have on it. And you could look at the free resources page that we have on our website, looking down the healing column to see all different guided meditations and also more talks like this about the healing practice for you to go a little bit deeper. We also have a free seminar workshop called The New Paradigm of Healing, which goes a little bit more into what we essentially need for healing modalities and practices to work. And also we have our once a year course. So the only facilitator training and personal development course that we have that is 100% online. So the therapeutic embodiment course with me. So in 2024, it's starting in May. And this course is 100% about part one of the functional spirituality practice. So it's purely about healing everything that has to do about holding space for yourself in a way that increases your capacity and holding spaces. So being a kind of presence in relationship and in spaces that increases the capacity for other people to process challenge and stress. So looking at the mechanics of what it actually means to be a healing presence, it's probably one of my favorite courses, if I'm allowed to say something like that, then it is my favorite course, just because it's so accessible and we really go deep into just one part of the functional spirituality practice. We look a little bit at awakening and cultivating because it is so important and can feed into the healing practice, but this is just like the best personal development journey you could possibly go on. How to be a healing presence for yourself, how to be a healing, loving, open-hearted presence for others in this new paradigm of healing way, which is really saying that healing is like a mode of being. So it's not about mastering skills and modalities, although you will like learn a modality to hold that space. That's absolutely not the key ingredient. It's not the modality. It's the energy, the intention, the functionality, the kind of mechanics of the presence that we're holding. So how to be regulated, self-aware, aligned, boundaried, how to live from a deeper place, you know, so how to be kind of an example, a model of that functional spiritual practice, which is about living from that deeper place, not on the surface of our life with the speediness and reactivity of our culture. So yeah, such a powerful approach and intent to transform the world through being that deeper presence. So if I guess we can just include a link in the show notes about the therapeutic embodiment training and the new paradigm of healing, the free workshop as well, for you to go a little bit deeper. Would love for you to embody this more and for you to really see the magic. Yeah, the magic and the beauty that spreads into your life from having a greater capacity to be loving and present. Thanks so much for listening and look forward to speaking with you soon. Thank you for tuning in to the Functional Spirituality Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe by pressing the plus button on iTunes or the following button on Spotify. This is going to ensure that this resource is available and top of mind when you most need it. So please subscribe now.